This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this last Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What was God doing that night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. We thank you for revealing the mystery that is far more than a human birth, that Jesus Christ has invaded this earth to walk as a God-man on this earth, and there to be our Savior through his vicarious suffering and death. And so we praise you, Lord Jesus, as we again celebrate your birth, and we ask that you may truly be the Lamb of God in the lives of each one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hear our prayer we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh,
Friends in Christ, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he saw his mother and his beloved disciple by the name of John. It was from the cross that he said to Mary, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. That's a very important verse. For in the days which followed Jesus' suffering and death and glorious resurrection and the ascension, Mary and John were very close to one another. And when he moved on from there, he took Mary with him. So they had much time to be in great conversation. Because Jesus was such an important part of their life, I am thoroughly convinced that along the way, much of that conversation centered around Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take the liberty to try to give you a picture of what very well could have happened. I can understand that Mary knew a lot about her son, but some of the most intimate things she did not understand. And so could this not have happened that she might have said to him one day, "John, can you tell me a little bit about your experiences with my son?" And John would have said, "Yes, Mary, there were some thrilling experiences. The healing of the sick," and he might have elaborated on that. "The forgiving of sins of those who were so depressed," and he could have elaborated on that. He could have, for example, told them about this great experience where they had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration. Only he and his brother James and Peter were there, and Jesus was lifted up, and in front of him was Moses, and there was Elijah. We really didn't know what was going to happen. Peter got all excited, and he wanted to build altars there, and they would stay there, but Jesus said, "No, we must return to the brethren." From that day on, we were mystified. There was something to do with the prophetic message that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, and the Savior of the world, but that's about all that we knew. But then there was that dark night in Gethsemane. We had been in the upper room. We had celebrated the Passover feast, the 12 of us. It was at that time that Jesus noted that Judas was going to betray him. Judas left. After we had had the Passover meal, he instituted what the Christian church now calls the Lord's Supper. And then we went down into Gethsemane. When we got there, he asked that John and myself and James and Peter go with him a little bit further into the garden. And then he said to us, the three of us, "You stay right here. I'm going to go still a little bit further on." And there he went down and he began to pray to his father. And John could well have said to Mary, "Forgive me for this, Mary, but I was so tired I just drifted off into a sleep. But before I went to sleep, I heard him saying, 'Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" And this was repeated three times. And then finally he came and said, "All is ready, let us go." And we went on a little bit further, and that's when they brought the soldiers. And they took him off to Pilate's court. And here the Jews had him tried. It was a terrible trial. And then Mary would have said, "Yes, this is where I come into the picture. I saw some of this too, John." But that's what you saw. And then John would have said, "But Mary, now let me ask you about something that Jesus never really talked too much about when he was with his disciples. What is all of this about his birth? What about the manger in Bethlehem? What in the world really happened that night?" And then Mary said, "Well, John, I was a young lady, 16, 15 years old. I was betrothed to a man that I loved very much. His name was Joseph. And we were going to be married. But then one day the angel came and said, "Mary, you have found favor with God. You have conceived, you're going to bear a son. And his name is going to be called Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. And he's going to build a kingdom, and the kingdom will have no end." And she said, when I got all of this information as a young lady, I said, "This cannot be, for I know no man." And then he told me that I was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was hearing the same message. Mary is with child, Joseph. And Joseph was going to divorce me. But the angel said, "Do not do that, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." And so we lived with this. And then it wasn't long before we had to make a trip to Bethlehem because it was the enrollment. The Roman governor wanted a census taken, and this is where Joseph and I had to go. So it was while we were in Bethlehem that I delivered. I will never forget that night. There was no place for us at the inn, and Joseph pleaded with that innkeeper and said, "My wife is going to have a child. Can't you let us in?" And he was a good man, all right, but he couldn't do the impossible. And so as a result of that, he said, "There is a manger out there in the barn, and there you may go." And that's where we went, and the child was born. Jesus was born in the manger, and the angels sang, and the shepherds came, and it was an affair that we could not comprehend. Never were we able to penetrate its depths, but we knew that that babe was a God incarnate. We didn't know how, what, when, where, but God had some real plans with him. And that was the story of that birth. And that's about all we know, what we had experienced and what we had gone through. Now then, at that particular time, John is gathering all of this information. And between the years of 90 and 100, John sat down and wrote the Gospel of St. John. He evidently had copies of Matthew's account, and probably other copies too, of what had happened in connection with that birth. But John wanted to make it very clear that there was more than what was being said when he was just telling the story of a child being born in a manger. And so he wrote the book. He first received the information, the material, the content of that book from the Holy Spirit's revelation. For you and I know that the disciples have been given great powers, great strengths, great insights, and some of them had the power to write down what God said, and this was a revelation, and it was found in our Bibles. But that was not the only content place that they received this great message. They had also received it by watching Jesus. They had walked with him for 3 years. They saw these marvelous things taking place in his life and his influence on other people. But now John, I think, had this other opportunity to spend so many years with the mother of Jesus, Mary, and they could talk again and again and again about what happened. So he wrote the book. And at the very end of the book, in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "I wrote this, why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's why the Gospel of St. John was written. Now let's go back to that very first chapter, and there you see John's Christmas story. He says, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then you notice, if you are in the first chapter of John, if you go to verse 14, you'll find him saying, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only God, who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, here God, as John is saying, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he is a creator. Jesus is a creator. All things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. He is God. He is not just one who came in to this world 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem. He was with God. He was God before he came. And this is what we call in the church today the incarnation. That is the one great insight that we get from this portion of God's holy word. Let me give you another one. John here in this portion of scripture continually talks about Jesus as being the one who revealed the message of grace. You see, all of the preachers and the teachers, except for the prophets in a few places, had continually talked about the law of God. And that was foremost as far as their synagogue services were concerned. When Jesus came, he began to talk about grace, that God could stoop down and receive a person as he was, grant him the forgiveness of his sins, restore him into fellowship with God, and promise him life everlasting. That was the content of the message that Jesus Christ proclaimed while he was on this earth. He came here to reveal that God is a God of love, a redemptive God who wants us with him for all eternity. But then also he cites something that is very interesting, because this changes the whole setting of God's approach to the world. In verse 14, he says, and this is John now, after revelation, after watching Jesus, and after extended visits with his mother, Jesus came to that which was his own, Jewish people. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but by the grace and truth of God. The kingdom was not for one nationality from now on. It was for the world. Until that time, God's chosen people was Israel. And they still have a special place in his life. But God's chosen people today are those who are in Jesus Christ. So St. Paul could write, in Christ we are the chosen. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that has been given to us. So, what is this Christmas story all about, friend? We're right in the center of it now, and God grant that we may take some time out to really meditate on it. It is to tell us that that event on that night showed God extending his kingdom to the far parts of this world. Yes, I believe that John, the disciple, had many good talks about Jesus. Even they went to their death with mysteries, even though they had so much information that probably we don't have today. But the mysteries were solved for them when they entered into the kingdom of heaven. Some of the most thrilling discussions center in God's coming to this earth in the form of a baby, if you are a child of God. They have to be some of the most interesting things for you to meditate on. How did he come? Why did he come? So my prayer is that you will enjoy the message of Jesus' birth, but remember it is far more than a human story. It is God speaking and saying, I came. I came, people, and I will come again. And the big question is, are you ready to meet me? Now, you have this here in the text that I have read for you, that he came to his own, and his own rejected him. Is that happening today? Again and again in America, Jesus is coming to us in our churches as the gospel is being proclaimed in these marvelous Christmas carols that we sing, that we have sung Silent Night, Holy Night, and now we will conclude with Away in a Manger. At the very core of these great, great hymns stands the Christ. It is beautiful music. It is sentimental. It makes us nostalgic. We think of the past and all the great times that we have had around that manger, both as a little child and then growing up. But my question is, has he come to be born in your heart? Does he live there? Is he the one whom you can say, truly, the angel said that his name was to be called Jesus because he would save the people from their sin. And the angel at that particular time had me in mind. Just think of it, friend. Just see how personal it is. That angel had you in mind. For there is going to be a person, Pete, Mary, Jim, Joe, whatever, whoever they might be, sinners outside of a relationship with God. I had to send my son that he may take the sins away, that all of you people may be a part of that kingdom. But to do that, you must first confess your sins and place your faith in Jesus. And then truly, truly then, you can sing, joy to the world, for the Lord has come. And this will be a blessed Christmas for you and yours. Amen. Oh. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, what a blessed truth that you have been born the God incarnate. Father, we pray that though this is profound, it can be so simple. When we take the mind of a little child and simply say that Jesus has been born and that he's been born to be my Savior, grant that we will not turn away from it. We know that millions and millions of people have heard this. They've heard it from the greatest of our orators. They've heard it from simple preachers who wanted to tell about the Savior. We've heard it from God-fearing fathers and mothers. And now, Lord Jesus, if it has not entered into our hearts, then we pray that it may in this Christmastide. All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you and your loved ones have a blessed Christmas and a healthy new year. As we spend special time with family and friends, let us remember to give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to this ministry is tax deductible. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support during this holiday season. Your gifts enable Christian Crusaders to continue these gospel messages into the new year. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.